All right. Why are we getting so many text messages? Well, we have Travis in studio for today's AMA. AMA stands for Ask Me Anything, where we open up our text lines to you, and we get people in here with professions that we are fascinated with. And today, it's Ask a Mortician. So Travis is the GM of Larkin Mortuary, and if you have questions, bring them on to 61544. Morning, Travis. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, answer this for me, because Jackson and I were arguing about it off-air while Justin was grabbing you. You're the GM of Larkin Mortuary.
That's correct, yeah.
And I said, that doesn't mean you're a mortician. I said that a GM would just be like, hey, I'm running this place around.
He's the brains, the business behind it.
But I would assume that you would have to have some sort of license to be able to run a funeral home.
Yes, you do. To be a funeral home in Utah, you have to have a license to operate.
Man, it's almost like you should listen to me all of the time.
So you are a mortician. How long have you been a mortician for?
About 23, 24 years.
Did you want to be this, like, growing up? Is this what you went into?
You know, it's kind of one of those things. I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do, and I have a relative that asked me if I'd like to help with a funeral home, and so I started helping there and decided it would be a good career path for me.
So you started in the family business in a way.
Huh. In a way.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I got started.
Was it strange to kind of apprentice for the first time? Like, did you feel natural right away and comfortable in that role? Or?
No. I mean, you know, how to interact with people in that time and how to conduct yourself a little bit and be caring but still do a job. Yeah, for sure. There were some times that I had to step out of the preparation area and kind of catch my breath.
Yeah.
And, you know, I questioned if it's something I really wanted to do.
Sure, at the beginning. With a mortician, are you in the back room, or do you also work in the front room as well with grieving families as they come in, or people who are just coming in to pick an area of a cemetery? I mean, because that can all be done.
Right. Well, they're all facets of that. I mean, you have to be able to deal with people and offer information and education and support and ideas of how to handle things. And, but also the technical side of handling, you know, when someone passes away, you need to have the skill level that is needed to be able to do the work that's necessary for the grief of that family.
Hmm. The one question I keep getting a lot of texts on, so I'm gonna pull the Band-Aid and ask it now.
Oh, no.
What is involved in the embalming process?
Yeah,
as
like
a mortician?
How do you do it? Like,
what is the process of this?
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, we replace the blood with the embalming chemical.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a transfusion?
Kind of, sort of,
okay.
Yeah.
Is it like one tube in, one tube out type thing?
Yeah, one tube in, one tube out. So,
okay.
We inject the embalming chemical through the carotid artery most of the time. But anywhere there's a pressure point, that's where, you know, you have vessels that you can use.
Yeah.
But we generally start in the carotid and drain through the jugular vein.
Oh, no kidding.
I didn't know
so
that.
It's a pump that we use.
Yeah.
You know, it has pressure and flow and all that makes it possible so that we can reach all the areas of the body.
How long does it take to do that?
Every case is different.
Okay.
So sometimes it's a, you know, couple hour process. Sometimes it's 5-6 hour process.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Oh, no, I thought, a few minutes later, you're like, good to go.
I thought it was like changing the oil.
Yeah.
No.
It just doesn't flow out that easy, huh?
No, you need to monitor what's going on so that you don't get too much fluid in, you know, some part of the body. But make sure you have distribution throughout.
Okay.
So it takes a while.
And that's the biggest thing, is getting the fluids out and new fluids in.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the preservation and disinfection that we go for.
How long does an embalming or embalmed body last once it's buried? I mean, is it a long time or?
Oh, it's a long time.
Okay.
You know, it depends on the quality of the embalming first.
Okay.
And also if you can keep moisture from getting into where the body is,
okay,
is kept. And so that will determine how fast the body will.
Is it days, weeks, or years?
We could go weeks.
No kidding.
We can go even years. Like if someone is embalmed for medical purposes, they're for a long time, years.
We were talking off air, but you don't have to be embalmed. I mean, that's for more a specific reason, like an open casket or otherwise you don't have to be.
You don't have to be embalmed.
Yeah.
It's a choice. If you're having a an open casket viewing than we would embalm. If you're doing an immediate burial where you're just meeting at the gravesite, no open casket, you don't need to be embalmed. Hey, or if, you know, people choose cremation.
That's what I was going to ask you about cremation. Is that becoming a bigger trend? I just look around with the amount of land we have here, and I mean, look, we're growing more and more as a country. Like, there's not going to be places to bury us
well,
at some point.
It's a change of tradition a little bit with cremation becoming more and more a popular choice. You can still do everything that's involved with a funeral, open casket viewing, everything like that. We would do the same thing. The disposition would be different. Cremation would be the end result versus burial. But it is growing. Cremation is, for sure.
This might be a dark question, but it's from Emily. I think someone was messing with her, but she wants to know, do you chop people's legs off if they're too tall to fit in the casket?
Well,
good question.
No.
Yeah, what if you had somebody that was like an NBA player, and they're like...
There are ways that we can...
Do you have XL
one,
caskets?
We could order a larger casket.
Oh, there's always that chance.
Yeah, there's always that. No, I don't think anyone wants to do that.
Because they're like, he was 7 foot. This is only a 6 foot casket.
What are we going to do about that? I got an idea.
The main thing we're running that we see more often is wider caskets.
Because, nowadays.
We're getting bigger.
We're
as a
rotund
society.
People.
So we're no longer just digging 6 feet down. We're digging 6 feet wide. Is what you're telling me.
there is that happens. Yep.
Our friend Sage Lee is listening, and she just wants to know what degree in education you have to be a mortician.
Okay. The state of Utah, every state is different on their requirement. The state of Utah requires an associate degree in mortuary science.
Okay.
So that's basically the education requirement. There is a year of apprenticeship time that has to happen, and so many preparations and embalmings that have to occur with that as well.
And that helps with the certificate and the licensing and everything that comes along with
it.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to do one more break here on air with the AMA Ask Me Anything with our mortician, Travis, the GM of Larkin Mortuary. But since there's so many questions coming in through text message, we'll continue our AMA on our podcast today. So if you don't hear your question read on air, check out our podcast later today. I'm sure it'll be on there. Travis, the GM of Larkin Mortuary, is here. When you go to a party, are you cornered every single time when someone finds out what you do?
Every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have kind of the same thing. When we go to a place, people are interested in different professions, and you're just one of those people. I mean, since you walked through that door, we've been just hitting you with question after question.
I'm tired of it.
Fair enough.
What is the strangest question you've been asked over the years as you go to these parties or get-togethers?
Oh,
when someone do you have one that stands out to you?
It's always, you know, the embalming question is always there.
Yeah.
They always look for, you know, what's your strangest story? What's, you know, have you seen anybody move?
Right. Have you?
No.
Did they move at all?
No.
Weird noises, air coming out.
Typically, they're super dead by the time they get to him, you guys.
Just want to make sure.
I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, that's good.
This text says, I actually work in the building next to Larkin Mortuary, so I've watched them wheel bodies into the building some days. So on that note, my coworkers and I wonder, on average, how many bodies do you process in, say, a week or a day?
Or, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Our funeral home does about 1,300 calls a year.
1,300 calls a year, wow.
And so, of course, that varies.
Yeah.
So, and it varies from day to day to week to week. But that's kind of 13-ish in that range. Every funeral home is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you can do the math.
But Larkin's big. I mean, there's four.
There are four locations.
So, I mean, you're a pretty big operation compared to some of the smaller ones that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
For 1,300.
We've been around a long time, though.
Does it come in waves? Those are highs and lows.
Yeah.
I mean, with a lot of things, it's feast and famine a lot.
Like full moon.
Right. Mm-hmm. To where it's like, oh, man, we got six today and you haven't had any all week.
You can't predict it. I mean, there are days that we don't receive any first calls.
Yeah.
But there are days that we're overwhelmed in some sense that we have to send, you know, different vehicles, different places.
Sure.
It's hard to say. You can't predict it. I mean, Winter seems to be a little bit busier, but
do you drive the hearse?
Oh yeah.
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 Do people give you more respect on the road when you're driving a hearse than say, I don't know what you're driving, a Honda?
On average.
Yeah.
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 Most people do. I mean, to get caught behind a funeral procession when you're in a hurry is,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
We've all been there. I mean, you want to accommodate, but the bottom line is we're there for this family and we're going to do what we need to do.
Totally.
So,
This one wants to know, what's less expensive, cremation or burial?
Cremation is probably less expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, just because of the services, I guess, that go along with that. But you can, that's an interesting question because there are so many different ways that you can go through that process.
It's like an a la carte menu. It depends on what you choose on the old process, right?
Yeah.
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 Which is what it comes down to.
If you're looking cheapest to cheapest,
yeah.
Cremation is going to be less expensive.
Travis, he's the GM of Larkin Mortuary for today's AMA. Again, we're going to move this over to our podcast. So if you still have questions, feel free to text us now at 61544 and I'll read them during there. But I do want to say here on air, thanks for coming in because you've been awesome.
Oh, you bet.
I appreciate you sharing your life with us. This is actually an extended version of our show today with our AMA, our Ask Me Anything, Ask a Mortician, Travis, the GM of Larkin Mortuary. Jackson, you were asking Travis off air about the weirdest request.
Yeah, so I read a lot about non-traditional funerals and people having wacky requests for their departed, or people who wanted things done then left that in their will, like, I want this done with my body or my remains. And then you told me the best story. What did this woman want to do in Idaho?
Well, she wasn't able to follow through with it, but
sure.
She wanted to have basically a Viking burial.
Can you do it, though, potentially?
She has to get the authorization from the correct people, BLM, sure. Basically. And she did not receive that permission. So she ended up not doing it.
So a Viking funeral is where they put a body on like a raft or something, like then light
it
on fire,
yeah, they were going
right?
to build a raft, and she was going to put the urn on the raft and have it go out into a lake, you know, set on fire and
wow.
things like that. So we actually we were able to get an urn that would dissipate in the water and
that's amazing.
Kind of stuff.
So you got your whole part done. You guys were able to.
Yeah, but she was going to do that on her own up there. And so we weren't involved with that, but she didn't get permission.
Yeah.
But if she were to find like a private lake or a private pond or something and got the owner's permission, that totally would have been okay.
As far as I know, I mean, I guess. Once people, the urn leaves our care, people can do what they feel like they need or want.
Which is why some urns just sit up in a closet in the back corner.
And that's a possibility, yeah.
Completely legal, and
yeah.
you can do that, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Business idea for you with Larkin. Build a lake. Viking funeral.
Viking
there
funerals.
You go. There it needs is. A large
Take
pond.
That back. That's our gift to you for being here today. So.
We've had people come in. One person was going to have his leg amputated, and he wanted his leg
no.
to be with him, you know, when he finally
really
died.
So did you just keep it on ice, or
we placed it in our mausoleum? And that was his place that he was going to be.
Oh,
but we did embalm the leg and placed it in there.
Are you storing bodies somewhere, like when they're at Larkin themselves, are they being stored, or are they just out like on a gurney down in the base? I don't even know if they're, I say the basement as if you walk down into one.
Right. There's no basement.
You're required to
maybe
put all of these things into a basement.
I assume
obviously.
There's a basement.
Well, there is a basement at the Larkin.
Okay, good.
At the Larkin downtown, there is a basement. We refer to that area as our care center.
Uh-huh.
It was actually, back in the day, it was an old mansion.
Oh.
Larkin bought it in the 20s.
Yeah.
Turned it into a funeral home. But this area, it is a basement. And so we have our preparation area. Once someone is embalmed, we have a holding room where they're on tables, completely dignified, covered, everything that way, just waiting for the final preparation when their funeral is going to take place. We also have a refrigeration unit for people that aren't embalmed. It's pretty big.
Yeah, I would assume.
So, yeah, we place people in there.
Let's go just rapid fire. I have a bunch. Do you actually sew eyes shut?
No.
That's not something that happens?
No. There are eye caps mm-hmm. that go in people's eyes, mm-hmm. And they have little hooks there that help keep it closed. We actually do need to use an adhesive.
Okay.
It was glue. Have you ever had an eye come back open?
Yeah.
During the funeral? God,
not during
out.
The funeral.
wouldn't it?
It would be, you know, I guess anything's possible, but it would be pretty rare because we do use that adhesive just to make sure. Because when your body dehydrates, the eye tissues are some of the most sensitive on our on our bodies. And so those will be the first to kind of shrink a little bit.
Sure.
Why do bodies look so different during an open casket?
Well,
is that an insult to a mortician? I feel like that is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, depends on the embalming process and, you know, the nature of the death.
Yeah.
If someone was being treated for a long time, there probably there could be edema and things like that.
I would say because they're dead.
Well,
I'll answer that one.
We hope that people look as natural as they can possibly be. Can be.
Yeah. Sure.
We do need to use a little bit of cosmetic work. Our cosmetics, we try and use the least amount possible.
Are you using MAC makeup? What kind of makeup do you use?
Yeah, the good stuff.
It's a little bit of a different makeup. It's
is
actually
it a different makeup?
Yeah, it's a funeral director
really
makeup.
Get their own line, John.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Lipstick is the same, but the base that people receive is a mortuary product.
How long does cremation take?
About 3 hours.
3 hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. We talked about embalming earlier, how it takes about 6 hours around.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the case with embalming, but...
3 hours, though. That's longer than I thought. Yeah. I would have thought it would have been like you go in, you push a button.
Well, there's
stacks of going. And
right, yeah.
There's a lot of heat generated, of course, and it's a mason floor, basically, and walls and everything that hold the heat. You know, and that can vary just a little bit, but generally about 3 hours is the process.
One at a time, or can you put a few in there at once?
Oh, one at a time.
One at a time. Okay.
Yeah, we.
Can you put a few in at once?
No, I mean, that would take more work to do more than one. It wouldn't make sense.
That's what they do with people's dogs. Right. They burn them all together and give you a little piece. Right. They don't do that with people.
Yeah, it's it's a respect issue, of course. I mean, with cremation, we track everybody that person is identified at least 4 times prior to cremation.
I should say off air, we talked a lot about this, and you guys take it very serious.
Oh yeah,
very serious. Yeah, not to make too much light of the matter. This text says, my husband was a mortician. He used a tool called the trocar. Uh-huh. Do you still use the trocar?
We do.
What is that? I don't.
What that is, it's basically for the cavity of our bodies. Mm-hmm. The cavity does not get embalmed thoroughly with the vessels that we use, because that's where all of our bacteria and everything, not all, but that's where a lot of bacteria resides. And so we have to use, it's kind of like a suction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We penetrate the organs with that, and we have to inject a really high factor of embalming chemical in there to make sure that bacteria is controlled.
Totally fascinating. I could talk to you all day. We've taken up a lot of your time. So
no, you're fine.
But seriously, thank you for coming in. And at Larkin Mortuary, thanks for letting you be out here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to plug a website on the podcast?
LarkinMortuary.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Travis.
Yeah, you bet.